going to begin with a confession, but then you're used to that. I have to say, standing here regularly is much cheaper than therapy. So, I used to be afraid, I mean really afraid, that one day I was going to be called to be a martyr. That something might happen, unlikely as it seemed, that would make Christian faith illegal, and I would have to choose between my faith and remaining alive. And I, as a young Christian, was terrified. It didn't help that such verses as today's "Take up your cross and follow me" were so often used. And the idea was that Jesus would be ashamed of me if I was ashamed of him at that point. Or that those who persecuted because of their faith, or who suffered and died because they refused to renounce their Christian faith, and indeed still do, were held up as perfect examples of what it was to be a Christian. And for a young Christian as I was, this was terrifying. And every now and then it still pops into my mind. Are we meant to suffer for the sake of our faith? Is that what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel? Jesus certainly knew the price of defying the authorities, of speaking about healing and justice and equity and hope, and of the one God who was God alone in the face of defiance of the emperor's claim of divinity. Likewise, those who made up many, though not all, of the earliest communities of Jesus' movements knew there was a risk involved in proclaiming Jesus as king and not Caesar. And yet, I think at the same time, that's not all that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel passage. It certainly made for some interesting conversation on this last Wednesday's sermon circle. In talking of denying yourself and taking up your cross, Jesus is certainly drawing upon an image that many people would have understood as an expression of the violence and brutality of Rome. Standing up for justice in a profoundly unjust society was dangerous and could result in torture and death. They're not always. Certainly non-violent resistance was punished, but not normally by crucifixion, which was reserved for those whom Rome wanted to make an example of. And I believe that Jesus' use of the image of the cross in this context is about more than it's about more than just being willing to sacrifice our lives. But it's about crucifying that which takes us away from the fullness of the life of God. When we're told to deny ourselves, I'm convinced we're being pointed to denying those parts of ourselves which diminish us, which are not our true selves, but what Richard Rohr and other spiritual writers describes as our small or our false selves. Those stories we tell ourselves about what is important, fame, respect, money, property, protecting our egos, finding security in things, treating others in a way that does not embrace and celebrate their full humanity. Those are the small self stories. The self which lives into small lives indeed does need denying, or in Jesus' vivid image, goes on to crucifixion. And as for being ashamed of Jesus, that would seem to be a very particular remark with about how he could see himself dying. Not that that was a foregone conclusion, though it is a very real possibility that he would be crucified. I don't think that Jesus sought suffering and death, nor did he romanticize his own fate. We read of his own doubts as he prays that the cup of suffering be taken from him in the Garden of Gethsemane before his death, a story we will encounter in these coming weeks as we move into Holy Week and Good Friday. The talk of being ashamed of Jesus and his words is concerned with how Jesus' whole mission and ministry will be seen if he is crucified. For in the tradition of the Jewish people, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, crucifixion is a shameful death. Cursed is anyone who is hung upon a tree. And Jesus does not want his whole message of new life, liberty, justice, wholeness, healing, shalom, to be overshadowed by the manner of his death. And with the usual wordplay that he engages in, he expresses this by saying that if you find this shameful, your own behavior is equally shameful. But we also know throughout the gospel how Jesus offers grace, forgiveness, and new starts again and again and again. I can't help but quote again Ted Lasso. I'm going to start inserting in the liturgy, thanks be to Ted. But the way that he responds to the betrayal of a friend and talks of the willingness to forgive, he says, I hope that either of us, all of us, or none of us are judged by the actions of our weakest moments, but rather the strength that we show if and when we are given a second chance. There may be times we do not live up to being our best selves, but that is not the end of it. We are offered fresh starts repeatedly, graciously, constantly. And it's those ideas, that idea of fresh starts, new possibilities, along with the calling to leave behind all that diminishes us, that is something I think speaks to us this Sunday, this Vestry Sunday. 6 years ago on this Sunday, she's going to love me reminding her, this was also our Vestry Sunday, and I took the opportunity given by Jesus' rebuke of Peter in today's gospel reading to address the idea of Satan. I don't know if any of you remember it. When someone dares you to do a sermon on Satan and you then find yourself preaching a vestry, it can be an interesting juxtaposition. So Satan is not obviously a little red person with horns who is always up to wickedness. But within our Hebrew stories of Satan, Satan is an agent of the divine. They test the resolve of God's people. They test their discernment and encourage them to stay on the path of faithfulness. I know that Penny Holt remembers this because she still talks of the time. I can hear her. She still talks of the time when I called her and Dwayne, who were my incumbents wardens at the time, my Satans. I described them as those who did the work of the divine in keeping the incumbent honest and accountable. Though I'm not sure Penny saw it that way. I will say that such a role seems to have become more a position of mutual accountability in our community in my time here, and is one where we seek to keep one another honest and build one another up. And I thought it was worth mentioning again, not just because it gave me a wry smile when I read that sermon again a couple of days ago, but because as we come to this annual meeting of parishioners, Vestry, where those of us who have given so much time and love to this community share with us all that we could ever want to know and some more of where we are as a parish, I said 3 years ago, this is our Satan Sunday. Please don't ever repeat that in public. By which I mean that this is the Sunday where we hold ourselves accountable to one another as a community, and where we commit to move together and discern where God is leading us. We are reminded that this is a Sunday where we can leave behind those things which cause us to contract into ourselves and separate ourselves from one another and live out of our small selves instead of living into who we are called to be. We are called to be a community of loving service to one another and the world, a spiritual community, a loving, growing, wrestling, praying, learning community. Jesus is talking of taking up a cross day by day, recognizes the value in self-giving. And it's not just an individual thing, it's about community. How do we give to one another the support and encouragement we need to continue to thrive? How do we as a community give to the wider world, the wider society, that which resists dehumanizing, that which celebrates diversity and seeks to change the world for the better with love? In our parish, we continue to set our priorities rooted in our understanding of God's way of being and doing, looking beyond our own building, our own congregation, and seeing the bigger picture for ourselves and for the church. We hear again this calling to be faithful and to have faith. Faith in each other, faith in the divine, and faith in ourselves. As we come to our annual meeting, we ask again, what does being faithful mean for us as a community and as individuals in this parish? We ask, do we have the imagination to be meaningfully and deeply connected with one another, with the world beyond our community, with God and within our own selves? What are our stumbling blocks? What are our challenges, our temptations, our hopes? What are our opportunities and possibilities? How may we recommit ourselves to this journey of being centered on Christ, that we can begin to look beyond our fears and our worries to new life, a new way of doing things, and a new hope? Thanks be to God. Amen.